This is Dana Monsees, the nutritionist and Whole30 certified coach behind Real Food with Dana, and you're listening to the Real Talk with Dana podcast, where we talk all things nutrition, health, fitness, and mindset with a healthy side of sarcasm. Today, guys, we have a totally epic guest on the podcast for episode 18. We have my friend Michelle Cady to talk all things adrenal fatigue, self-care, and how not to totally lose your mind or your shit while starting a business and while she was publishing her first book. So Michelle has actually guest posted on the blog before with the post of 20 ways to get adrenal fatigue. And we both also have a really similar story of working in stressful careers after college, then switching to become wellness professionals, as they call them. So a little bit of background on Michelle, if you haven't heard of her before. She's a former finance executive turned wellness author and highly sought after integrative nutrition health coach. We both went to the Institute for Integrative Nutrition, which is one of the ways that we connected, as well as we both went to Middlebury College together. So kind of weird. So her upcoming book, which we're going to talk about more in the episode, is called Self-Care in the City, which brings to life the core principles of her private coaching practice, where she teaches high-achieving go-getters around the world to reach even greater levels of success through the incorporation of wellness practices into their daily lives. So her personal experience of recovering from adrenal fatigue and total burnout influences her coaching and her focus on nutrition, fitness, and stress management. And if you can't tell already, she's pretty freaking awesome. And she's just a great human being. And I know you guys are going to love this episode. So be sure to go check out Michelle over at fitvista.com. And of course, I'll link all of her goodies in the show notes too. So just a little bit of what we're going to talk about today is her story of switching from a former finance executive to full-time health coach and wellness author, Michelle's personal experience with adrenal fatigue, and top tips of how to get yourself out of that mindset that even gave you adrenal fatigue in the first place. Then we're going to talk about how to manage your stress while building a business, dealing with a super stressful period in life, or writing a book, which she happens to be doing right now. And a couple bonuses for you guys. We're going to talk tips for entrepreneurs in the health and nutrition field for building their business and getting more clients. Plus, Michelle just had a really bomb article in the New York Post, which is called Birth Control Backlash and Why Millennials Are Ditching the Pill. So it's going to be a juicy episode, and I know you guys are going to love it. So let's do this. Okay, so let's get started. Guys, if you have never heard of Michelle from Fit Vista before, clearly you've been living under a rock because she's been on my blog before, but also because I referenced her in my podcast and she's just an amazing human. So why don't you introduce yourself and like, who the heck are you and how did you get here?
Well, Dana, thank you so much. I am super, super psyched to be here. So we connected because we actually went to the same college together and we figured out, was it through Instagram or through a mutual friend, that we both had the same symptoms of adrenal fatigue and go, go, go type mentality and had gotten, you know, pretty far in our previous careers until we felt ourselves burnt out and our health under, you know, some serious stress and had to figure out how to deal with it, which led to us going to nutrition school, getting the education, totally switching careers. So that's part of my story. And, you know, we could take it however you want, like what I do now, how I got here, how I got so stressed out in the first place.
Yeah. So what Michelle is talking about is, so we both went to Middlebury College, but I think 4 years apart. So we didn't cross paths while we were there, but I think it might have been like, I saw your post on MindBodyGreen or something, and then I clicked on your LinkedIn profile, and I was like, whoa, wait a minute. Like, she went to Middlebury, and she went to Institute for Integrative Nutrition. Like, we're basically the same person. So I think I might have reached out. But yeah, why don't you tell people about, like, what your previous life was like, and then how your journey through getting sick and having adrenal fatigue and everything, and then to where you are now.
Definitely, definitely. So I moved to New York City in 2008. Before that, I had gone to college up in Vermont and had studied abroad briefly in London, but more or less living in New York City was my first time living in this urban environment in a big city and adjusting to not being able to run outside quite as much, being indoors more, and of course, you know, working a lot You know, they call it a 9-to-5, but it certainly wasn't a 9-to-5. I worked in finance. And for so many years, I loved it. I was an English major undergrad. I kind of landed a great job in finance, originally at Goldman Sachs. You know, when you get that opportunity, I really went for it, but soon realized that the hours were really starting to get to me. And my favorite part of the day was fitness. My favorite part of the day was reading nutrition blogs, you know, for 10 minutes at your desk. So after 6 years of finance, I had gotten several promotions. I really felt like I was able to see around the corner of what my 30s would look like. At this point, I was almost 28 years old, about to turn 28 years old, and realized if I could switch careers, I'd be able to build a business by age 30. And that was really appealing to me of, okay, I can heal myself and figure out the next steps in my career and kind of start anew, but based off all my experience in my prior career of figuring out what to eat when you're on the road business traveling, figuring out how to work out early in the morning before you have to get to work and what kind of snacks to pack and what it's like when you're rushing between meetings. Those are the type of people I work with now because I've been there.
Yeah, that's awesome. So I know you said about it seemed really appealing to you that you could heal yourself and you could build a business before age 30. And to me, because I've been there, they seem kind of dichotomous, right? Like they seem like at opposite ends of the spectrum. Like you kind of either need to sacrifice your health a little bit while you're building a business, or you need to heal yourself first and then be really careful while you're building a business, which is kind of the total opposite of what we hear nowadays. Well, I guess it's become a little bit less now, but people, like if you follow Gary Vaynerchuk or people like that, it's like, you know, the hustle is so real and like you're not going to build your business unless you hustle every single day. But I've learned, and I'm sure you know this, that, you know, if you just keep hustling and you keep sacrificing health and sleep and wellness practices and exercise and eating well in order to build your business, like it's not going to be sustainable at all.
Oh, yes. I am so on the same page with you. And the word hustle just makes my skin crawl. I mean, I've been there, done that. I know what it did to me from a health perspective. And sure, I was productive and successful in my old career, and I'm so grateful for that. I have zero regrets about the fact that I worked so hard in that period of time in my life, because it did get me adrenal fatigue, but it also paved the way for figuring out how to switch around how I operate in this world, and then gave me a strong baseline for building my business, because I work with women who have symptoms of stress and everything that comes along with that. So yes, the way I describe it, building a business as you're also trying to heal some health issues, is I just had this strong image for years of driving down a highway, and I love driving in the left lane. Like if I'm driving from New York to Vermont, I'm like, get me in the left lane. I am going for it. But I had to force myself to sort of stay in the middle lane or stay in the slower lane for a few years. And I felt for a while, you know, I started in 2014, that I was driving with like one foot on the gas and one foot on the brake all the time.
Yeah.
Because you want to keep moving forward. And I just had this strong vision for my company that's come to life now, but it's taken me almost 4 years to get here. And I knew that I would get here, but I also at the same time had to learn to build a life that supported me from the ground level. So it really was excavating the foundation and starting again with how I arranged my schedule and how much sleep I was getting, and, you know, giving myself breaks during the day so I wasn't getting stressed out. Like before our call right here, it's been a really cool business day for me, but I just sense some stress building in my system. So I just laid on the ground for 5 minutes before my and I work from home, so I can do that. But it allowed my nervous system to calm down. And there was a lot of that in the last 4 years. It was figuring out how I could grow and expand, but not overdo it, I think is a lesson I'm so glad I learned at age 28, age 29, age 30, because I'm going to be using that for the rest of my life.
Yeah, definitely. So let's back up a little bit, because I know you mentioned a little bit of how, you know, both of us have had to go through that adrenal fatigue struggle. So you're someone that has been there, you've come out on the other side, and you've built a successful business. But like, what you were doing and what I was doing to get adrenal fatigue, like, it's what most people are doing when you live in a city and you get out of college. Like, what did that look like for you? How did you get there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I love your podcast that you did based off of the blog post we wrote together last year of how ways to get adrenal fatigue. And that was for listeners out there, that was from the beginning of March. I think that it was on the podcast.
Yeah, a couple episodes ago.
Yeah. And I just like to think of it as the perfect storm. And the things, I'd say the biggest drivers were, you know, sleeping 5.5 hours a night, waking up and doing hardcore exercise, and I'm talking about high intensity interval training, very strong boot camp sessions, long runs, you know, at 6 a.m. So I was peaking my hormones, my cortisol levels, my stress early in the morning on no sleep and doing it fasted. So I was doing a lot of workouts with no calories in my system. So essentially, from like an evolutionary standpoint, I was running away from the tiger while also in a famine, you know, while also not sleeping, like packing up your camp and moving it overnight. Like, I really love to talk about what it would have been like 10,000 years ago, because 10,000 years ago, a cavewoman wasn't, you know, setting her alarm to sleep 5 hours and then waking up and having no food and then going to sprint on a treadmill at Barry's boot camp. Like, that just wasn't happening unless some serious shit was going on. So thinking about it that way, I think, helps put it in perspective, because like you said, moving to a city, being ambitious, high achieving, sort of continuing on however you might have operated in high school or college, it eventually catches up to you, because what I was doing was, in retrospect, over-exercising, under-sleeping, restricting carbohydrates, restricting overall calories, drinking 4 cups of coffee, so over-caffeinating, partying on the weekends, so drinking alcohol. You know, I was on birth control, and there was one more. Oh, and just this idea of rushing woman syndrome. It was this concept of planning my days down to the minute. So if I was late, all of a sudden it was 2-3 minutes of, oh my gosh, I have to sprint to the subway, I have to get to the next meeting. Never giving myself a grace period, I think, was also a huge, huge part of like the way I operated in the world.
Yeah, because that spikes your cortisol levels too and just makes everything worse down the line.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So unraveling all that, I mean, gosh, it's, for any of you out there going through it right now, I wish I could give you a big hug, because learning to slow down and learning to unwind the way you operate and, frankly, the way you identify, it's one of the hardest things I ever did. It's one of the hardest things you might ever do. But it is so, so worth it when you're on the other side of it and you've separated your identity from that rushing woman who's always super productive, and you could learn to sit on the couch for 10 minutes and not be rushing through your to-do list. It's not easy, but there is a light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah, definitely. So what do you think? So if someone, say we're talking to some people, because I know we are, that are in the thick of it right now, right? They are experiencing the symptoms of adrenal fatigue. They're having all this hormonal dysregulation. They're, you know, the same as us. They're a type A personality, go, 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 like under eating, over exercising, all of that kind of stuff. What are the most impactful things that you did on your healing journey?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh my gosh. I love that question. It's a lot of it is self-talk. So it's really telling yourself, okay, my body has the ability to heal. You know, we've for so long learned how to track our calories or restrict our carbohydrates. And that's the mind trying to control the body. But when you really think about it, your body wants the best for you and it wants to heal and it wants to get better. So that was something I repeated to myself all the time, is this deep, deep belief that my body was going to heal. And I didn't have control over the timeline, which is someone who's a huge planner. That drove me crazy.
Yeah. I mean, nobody knows. It's great. Like, that is definitely one of the hardest things in order, like, with shifting the mindset is like, you know, it could take 3 months, could take 6 months, it could take a year, but like, it all depends on how far entrenched you are in all of those symptoms and how, you know, old habits die hard, right? How much are you willing to change? How far are you willing to go in order to actually recover? Like, you never know how long it's going to take. And I think one of the hardest things is being okay with that.
And it depends on your lifestyle too. Like, if you can go live on the beach in Tahiti for a month, you probably could heal a lot quicker, but that is kind of outside a lot of our capabilities to do so. So if you have a specific job where you have to be at your desk a certain amount of hours a day, you have kids, you have all these commitments, it's going to take longer, and learning to be okay with that, knowing that you're still making forward progress. I mean, it took me 10 months to lower my cortisol levels. It took me almost 2.5 years to get my period back. So that was a long period of time when you're in it. And the other things I did were, cutting back on high intensity exercise. That one was really hard for me. I love doing a hard boot camp class. I love sprinting and running fast. I replaced that with a lot of walks, hiking, yoga, and I still ran, but I really tried to make it like a 3-4 maybe 5 mile, but easy run, nothing too hard.
But that was a lot shorter than what you were doing before, right? To give people some perspective. Like, if I went and ran 5 miles right now, I'd be like, oh my God, I'm dying. But for you, that was a lot shorter than what you were doing before.
Totally, totally. Right. And you, Dana, being a swimmer, if I were to go in the pool and do like 30, 40 laps, that would be a lot for me. But for you, you're like, oh, I'm just out for a casual swim. So knowing that I had to do some amount of physical activity, I mean, the guidelines that you see if you're maybe talking to a doctor, reading online, is to totally eliminate physical activity and maybe go to a gentle yoga class or go for an easy walk. And sure, there are certain people that is what you have to do, and you will get through that period of time. But for me, I was willing to have my healing maybe go 2-3 months slower, but keep up a low level of exercise because I knew that that's what I needed. And I was able to make that decision and feel okay with it. So figuring out what exercise is best for you, you're probably going to have to cut something back. Maybe you have to do more. Maybe you have to go on a long walk or something like that if you haven't been exercising. So everyone's different, but the exercise played a part. Cutting back from coffee was a big one as well. I mean, getting good nutrients into your body and focusing on real foods. Dana's recipes are amazing. Things that really fuel your body on a cellular level also make you feel so much better.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks so much for sharing all of that. Because I know, I mean, as much as I talk about, you know, this is how you get adrenal fatigue and this is how all of the different ways that you can recover, I know it's so much more impactful to share other people's stories of like where they came from, how they got there, and then now how they got to be recovered and healthy and thriving again. Because sometimes, like, you can hear all of the tips in the world, but it's like, but how do I actually put this into practice, right? So I think it really helps people to hear stories from someone that's actually been there, done that, and come out on the other side. So I really appreciate you sharing that.
Oh, well, thank you. And yeah, hearing your stories as well, it reminds us how much we have to do to sort of mother ourselves and reverse, you know, so many of your successes in life is because you did hustle, because you did, you know, stay up late junior year in high school and take AP classes and still go to swim practice and all these things that got you to where you are today. So learning to unwind those reward systems and reward yourself if you actually read a book on the couch for an hour instead of working or taking a nap. I mean, gosh, I had such a stigma against people who napped. I was like, they must be so lazy. And now I nap. You know, when I was healing, I actually went and lived at my parents' place for almost a month in between jobs. This is summer of 2014. and I napped every single day. And
yeah,
a lot of
I did the same thing.
Yeah, coffee, yeah. And it's like your body needs to, has a lot of catching up to do. So, you know, now I teach my clients, get the sleep wherever you can, you know, fill back up that sleep debt. If that means you sleep in on the weekends, if that means you nap when you can, your body is asking you for something.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that's also really impactful to hear, especially for people who are entrepreneurs or they're trying to do an online program or a grad school program to change their career, or they're trying to build a business. Like, it's so important to hear something like that from someone who's been there and done it, because, you know, if you just keep going with the hustle and all this kind of stuff, even after you've recovered, if you're trying to build a business and you revert back to all those same habits, you're just going to put yourself in adrenal fatigue and hormonal dysregulation all over again.
Oh, for sure. And yeah, you are your business. And I always have to remind myself of that, like every single day. If I'm, you know, I don't have like a backup coverage. Like if I'm sick or if I can't make it to my client sessions, you know, I'm not necessarily getting paid.
Right. Yeah.
So I have to take care of myself because I can't afford, like, I have to pay the bills. I have to stay healthy. And, you know, I also have to walk the walk and talk the talk. So if I'm telling my clients to do something or gently suggesting that they do something, I should be doing it too. And it doesn't mean I'm perfect. I'm definitely, you know, I definitely don't do all the healthy things all the time. But I do try to walk my walk. And also, you have to build a smart, efficient business. I think, you know, the gift of having adrenal fatigue and healing from it is making sure that your schedule is as efficient as possible and that you're saying yes to the right things and no to the things that aren't going to fit in with your vision of success, whether that's from a financial standpoint, you know, figuring out your schedule so you're getting paid the best amount of time for your money. So if you're an entrepreneur, really, really focusing in on that schedule and making it as efficient as possible was huge for me.
Yeah, definitely. So, okay, now that you've been fully recovered and basically living your best life for a couple of years, you're writing a book. So for anyone who knows, writing a book, I've heard, because I haven't written one yet, can be like one of the most stressful periods that you'll ever have in your whole life. So can you talk a little bit about how you're managing your stress and taking care of yourself with nutrition and stuff to make sure that you don't get adrenal fatigue again?
Oh my gosh. Yes. Thank you for that. Thank you for putting it in that framework, because I have to remind myself of that too. Like, why am I writing a book? Why did I think this was a good idea? So when I was actually writing the book, I found out that I'm not one of those writers who could sit and write for 30 minutes every morning when they wake up. I mean, I know that writers can do that, and power to you, you're amazing. I am someone who really likes to batch their times, and I'm someone who can write if I go to a cabin in the woods for 3 days. That's like my kind of isolation, introvert focus type writing. So I actually went on 3 writing retreats to write the book, where I went on a social media detox for a week, put an out of office on, had my cell phone, but pretty much only to write some notes to myself if I was going for a walk, check a couple text messages from friends, and like call my boyfriend to say goodnight. And that was it. And so getting that isolation really helped me write, and then also helped take out the clutter of everything else. Because if you're trying to shift from answering emails to checking social media to posting on Instagram, you're just going to stress your system out when you're trying to really focus and be productive. So 3 writing retreats really helped. And, you know, if any of my clients are listening to this, thank you for being flexible with your schedule. So I could do that for 3 weeks over the course of 1 year. And also just giving myself the grace of going slow. I mean, I thought this book was going to get published. I think originally I thought it was going to get published in June of 2017, which is crazy because it's getting published on April 24th, 2018. So if you're listening to this right now, it is available for pre-sale on Amazon. And my book is called Self-Care in the City.
And basically, ways. You need it.
Thank you. It's the subtitle is 100 Ways to Optimize Your Nutrition, Fitness, and Wellness in an Urban Environment. And, you know, even if you live in suburbia, you'll definitely get some tips from it as well, because there's an entire section on stress and wellness and managing that. So, yeah, writing a book, just letting myself go slow. So it's getting published a full, 10 months later than I expected. But I'm glad, because the book wasn't ready to of me 10 months ago. I needed to have this time to have it be the way I wanted it to be and have the right stories line up. And I tell stories about my clients in the book anonymously or with a changed name. And, I needed to have those right clients at the right time to be able to pull their stories. And I just think that if you really listen to your intuition and know when to push, but also really when to put that brake on, is when you can actually have the best product.
Yeah, definitely. So what would you say you have a friend or a client who they know they have a really big project coming up and it has a deadline. So let's say, like, for example, my dad is a lawyer and he's a trial lawyer. So he has big trials and they have to prepare briefs and all of that kind of legal stuff that I might have done in my former life if I hadn't switched over to becoming a nutritionist. But say they have a deadline and it's like, a month away and they know it's going to be a really stressful period, but they don't want to, get all of the crazy, super stressed out cortisol dysregulation and all that kind of stuff and symptoms that go along with it. Like, what advice would you have for them?
Totally. I love that question. Right. Because your dad's not going to be like, actually, it's in my intuition to wait 10 months to put this together. Right. It's doing a little bit less than perfect in aiming for that. So your dad might not be, or anyone listening to this, you might not go out and create like the most fancy looking salads and do all the amazing recipes. Don't worry about that. Pay an extra few dollars to get a chopped salad made for you and have it delivered to save you time. Do carrots and hummus if that's going to be your vegetable for the day. Make it really easy. I call that back to basics nutrition. So you don't have to be going over the top with your food, but I still want you getting in water. I still want you getting in a few vegetables a day. Pay for delivery, pay for convenience, because if you fuel and nourish yourself, you're going to have so much more natural energy to get through all this. If you find yourself only eating chocolate and almond butter and sugar and sugar and caffeine and sugar and wine, that means your system's crying out for help. So when I'm in that situation, because I do slip into that occasionally, I make myself a green smoothie as my next meal to just gently guide myself back on track. So doing the basics of nutrition to get some vegetables into your system, get water into your system, and at the same time, knowing that sleep will be important. And if you have to trade your workouts for sleep, that's totally fine, because your body actually needs sleep more. Maybe you fit in a 20-minute walk, but you're not going to boot camp class, because boot camp is going to stress you out even more when you really might need some stretching, a walk to down-regulate and to calm you down.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, that's awesome. Okay, I hope that's really helpful for people. So Now I have a bit of a selfish question, because I struggle with this myself. So how do you manage your time and your sanity, like still seeing clients when you're putting out new content on your blog, your Instagram for like different publications like Mind Body Green, while you're in the process of like publishing and marketing your book without like losing your mind?
Oh my gosh, you hit the nail on the head. It's been a crazy month of March. My clients always come first, and I hold myself to that. I mean, my clients are the ones who are paying me to work with them, and they believe in me, and they've signed up for their 6-month program to work with me, and I'm going to be there no matter what. So the book does not come first when it comes to my clients. So that, I'm getting back to their emails, et cetera, et cetera. I have found myself working some nights, which is something I have not been doing in the last couple years, because I do find that I get tired at nights and I want to unwind and relax. So I've been editing and working sometimes in the evenings, and frankly, my workouts have been suffering, right? Like, I'm not going to say, oh, everything's perfect. Today, I did not get a chance to officially work out, but I went for a 30-minute walk along the water here in New York City, and I just called it a business meeting with myself, and I thought through some things I had going on and planned for a few emails, planned for this podcast right here. And, you know, that was my workout today. But I knew that if I did sprinting or, you know, lunges and squats and a CrossFit mini workout, my cortisol would be up and I wouldn't be able to make it through my busy afternoon. So that's a flip of the switch I've been using the last few weeks in order to fit in my clients, keep up writing, get this book done with, knowing that come May, knock on wood, I will create more room in my schedule again once the book is out there in the world to be able to sign up and go to my treadmill class, go for a hike on a Friday, and really have room in my schedule again to get back into more of the physical stuff. But for now, I've just been doing a lot of maintenance.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, from the outside, at least, it definitely seems like you're keeping it together. So,
yeah. Oh, well, thank you. That's working. Good. And I just, you know, nothing's ever worth my health anymore. And I'm 31 years old and I am conscientious of my fertility. And if my cortisol spikes again or becomes chronically elevated again, that puts my period at risk, which puts my fertility at risk. And so I always remind myself of that, like, what's worth more to you right now? And thankfully, I have this schedule where I can move things around a little bit. But yeah, I'm managing it. I'm excited for this summer. Have good. A few vacation days lined up.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay, so really good transition. I'm so glad you said that because I saw on your Instagram today that you're in the New York Post for an article called Birth Control Backlash. So can we talk about that? Like, how did that happen?
Oh my gosh. It was so funny. I spoke with the writer. I was interviewed a few days ago and I told my dad about it. He was like, wait, you're talking about your period to the paper? Huh, I would never have done that 4 years ago. It's so funny how I've opened myself up to the world. And it's so important, you know, having gone through this, having gone off birth control when I was in Institute for Integrative Nutrition, when I learned that birth control, when you're on hormonal birth control, it's basically just a fake period. It's just a fake bleed. Your hormones aren't actually cycling. So once I learned all about that, and once I learned that the cortisol in my system was hijacking the production of progesterone in my system, and I really wanted to unwind that unnaturally, I love talking about that now with my clients. I have a few clients going through that right now, getting off birth control, waiting to get their periods back. And so I talked to the paper about it, and it was so funny. I went to the store this morning to see if I was in the paper, right? Because you never know if things are actually going to get published.
Yeah.
You never want to get your hopes up, basically. Flipping through, and I'm like, oh my gosh, gossip column, gossip column, gossip column, and there's my picture. So I was laughing. I, like, showed the store attendant. So it's great when you can really get your message out there, and I just hope people don't think any of it's going to my head. I want there to be a revolution when it comes to eating right and exercising right and female hormones and stress. There's just so much misinformation out there. So Dana, I mean, you and I getting the word out there, I think it's so important because you are so knowledgeable and so effective with your combination of the nutrition and the stress. And I could go on and on and on, but thank you.
You're like my biggest cheerleader.
Oh my gosh. I'm like, yes, I needed you. I needed you 4 years ago. I
needed these kinds of conversations 4 years ago. It's so funny because, like, you said all this stuff was happening to you in 2014 and, like, you moved back in with your parents. And this is why I feel like, you know, sister from another mister, because, like, that's exactly when I was going through all that same stuff. And, like, I had to quit my job and move back in with my parents. And, like, I had to stay there for, I think, 2 years before, like, while I was starting my business and then quitting my job and doing Institute for Integrative Nutrition. And it's so funny that, like, you are so passionate about this whole, like, you know, the birth control is like a fake cycle and all this kind of stuff, because 2 weeks ago I had my friend Christina, who also went to IIN at the same time as me, and she's so passionate about that too, and she like went on a whole rant about it on the podcast episode about metabolic damage. I feel like that would be so cool to have both of you guys on an episode to like talk back and forth about that, because to be quite honest, like, I know the surface of that kind of stuff, but like all of the implications of being on birth control and like how it affects your hormones, like I'm not an expert in that area. So that would be so cool.
We should do that. We should totally do that. I'm coming out with a blog post most likely this summer, and it's like 10 podcast episodes to get your period back.
Oh, so I love that.
10 podcasts for your period, something like that. So I'm really into listening to those types of podcasts myself. And if we do a podcast, I'll totally put that one on the list too.
Oh, yeah. That would be awesome.
Love promotion.
Shameless plug. It's fine.
Totally. We all need it.
Yeah. Okay. So speaking of like IIN and different health coaching programs and all that stuff, I know that a lot of people that are listening are health coaches or budding nutritionists or RDs or NTPs, or just people that are interested in nutrition, health and wellness, fitness, and they're interested in starting a business in the wellness field. Mm-hmm. So what kind of advice do you have for them on not only like managing their stress and stuff, because we've talked about that a little bit more, but what about like getting new clients and building a business and putting yourself out there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'll just start straight up with the financial element. When I was thinking about leaving my job in finance, I was very clear with myself. And, you know, I had a conversation, several conversations in my head of, I am going to be careful. I'm not trading in the stress of this job for the stress of not having any money or having the finances, because that's another source of stress, right? So just because Dana and I left our jobs does not mean that you have to. I coach so many women who are able to navigate managing their own stress levels within their current job. So I am not advocating quitting your job to go live with your parents for a month, because not everyone has the capacity to do that. And so there are ways of figuring out what you're doing within your current situation. So that's the first thing. Second thing is, I had a lot of savings, and I want people to know that, because I was able to leap, but I had a financial cushion, which allowed me to heal at the same time as I was building my business. So for many months, I was either using my savings or breaking even. And now everything, you know, now I'm very confident with my income. It's not where it was in finance yet, but I'm not aiming for that. I mean, I can work out in the middle of the day, and I can plan my own schedule, and I can take vacation days. And so there's so many amazing things that I have that's not necessarily financial money coming in through my bank account. But in terms of finding clients, telling your story is so important. I would say my website was for many years kind of a bare bones official bio with what I could offer people. And when I redid my website earlier in 2018, I made sure to tell my story. And that is really, that's been very helpful attracting clients, because I am identifying with them much better. I'm telling my story so they could see their story within mine. You know, I regret not telling it earlier, but I also wasn't ready to necessarily talk about my period on the front of the New York Post
a year ago.
But now I am. So finding where you're comfortable telling your story is important. And face-to-face stuff, that's where I get most of my clients. It's not via my Instagram posts. I love putting stuff out there on Instagram, but it's not like I'm having clients knock down the doors because I posted something on Instagram. It's doing presentations, it's going to networking events, it's actually being in person with people is where I've gotten my clients, and also through my personal network, people I used to work with, people I went to summer camp with, people I went to college with. So, you know, having catch-up lunches or coffees or green juices with acquaintances helps as well.
Yeah, I think that's so important to say too, because you know, so many people think, and I've definitely been caught in this trap, that like you think you need to have all of your ducks in a line and your Instagram and your website and everything needs to be perfect before you can start putting yourself out there. But if you keep waiting for everything to be perfect, first of all, nothing's ever going to be perfect, right? Mm-hmm. You kind of, like, when you're an entrepreneur, you kind of have to come to terms with that. Like, nothing is ever going to be exactly the way you want it to be, because even if you achieve the vision that you wanted, it's going to be constantly evolving as your business evolves and as you figure out what your niche is, what kind of people you want to work with. Like, you don't let the fear of not being perfect hold you back, right? Because if you are passionate about nutrition, if you're passionate about fitness and building your business and whatever it is, like, you might think that you don't know a lot, maybe compared to the top practitioners in your field, but you know so much more than the people that you're going to help. And that's really all that matters, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, yes. And when I start, so I didn't mention this, but I became a personal trainer when I quit finance too. So I was in nutrition school at the same time I was personal training. And I was so nervous for my first personal training client. And another trainer who'd been there for years was like, Michelle, are you more qualified to train this person than they're qualified to work out themselves and like teach themselves how to lift weights? And I'm like, yeah. He's like, great. You're going to be great. You are 3 to 4 steps ahead of them. And that's where you have to be. You have to be 3 to 4 steps ahead of your clients, because then you know where they were at, and then you bring them along for the ride, kind of like a trail guide. I love to use hiking analogies, but you've walked the path and now you're bringing them along. And I just think that's so important.
Yeah, I love that. That's so funny that you bring that up with hiking, because the first iteration of my business when I was still in school was called Trailblaze Wellness, right? Because,
oh my gosh.
Yeah. So, but then, I mean, I figured, you know, this is a whole branding conversation, but I was like, if my thing is Trailblaze Wellness, like, nobody's going to know who I am, you know? Mm-hmm. And when you're building a brand around yourself, people have to know who you are. Like, you're Michelle Fit Vista. People are like, oh, are you Real Food with Dana? I'm like, I mean, that's not my name, but yeah, that is me, you know?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. And Fit Vista, I mean, I named my company that because it, in my mind, it means a healthy view on life, but it does have the word fit in it, which definitely makes people think I'm still doing personal training. But I just like to, I love the analogy of hiking up to the top of the mountain, and getting healthy can feel like that because you're taking so many steps and it's not that glamorous and you kind of feel like you're alone and you're putting in so much hard work, but you're not always seeing the results right away, but you're doing it. And then all of a sudden you get to the top of the mountain and you look around and you're like, oh my gosh, I did this. I'm so amazing. I'm so proud of myself. So that's how I think about it.
Yeah, that was great. Oh my gosh. Well, okay. This was awesome. Thank you so much for coming on. I hope this episode, or actually, I don't hope, I know this episode is going to be really helpful for people. So if people want to come find you, tell them where they can do that and like how they can find your book.
Definitely. So my Instagram, which you just mentioned, is Michelle with 2 L's, Fit Vista. That's FITVISTA. So it's Michelle Fit Vista. My website is www.fitvista.com. And my book is you can pre-order it on Amazon. Oh my gosh, like today. And it's called Self-Care in the City. So you could search on Amazon for that, or type my name into Amazon, Michelle Katie, and it should pop right up. So I would love it if you purchase the book and get in touch with me whenever. I love hearing from you.
Yes. And I'm definitely going to have Michelle back on for another episode, probably about birth control or maybe about her book. Who knows? It'll be something amazing.
Birth control backlash. Here we go.
Love it.
Thank you, Dana. Thank you, guys. Thanks for listening.
I'm back. Hope you guys loved that episode. I loved chatting with Michelle, and I'm definitely going to have her back on maybe when her book comes out or maybe in the summer, because I think it would be really great to talk more about adrenal fatigue and all of the self-care tips she's going to talk about in her book and about all of that birth control stuff that you guys seem to be asking a lot of questions about, but I am by no means an expert on. So I'd love to have her on and probably Christina back on the podcast too. But for now, make sure you go check out Michelle at Michelle Fit Vista on Instagram or fitvista.com. And I'll talk to you guys soon. Thanks for listening to Real Talk with Dana. If you enjoyed the episode, please share it with your family and friends and share the love by throwing us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes, which will help spread the word and do a small part to correct all of the fitness and nutrition misinformation or bullshit that's out there, which is only causing people to become more unhealthy. Come find me anywhere at Real Food with Dana on Instagram and Facebook. Join the Real Talk with Dana Facebook group for more support and discussion on these episodes. And come hang out over on realfoodwithdana.com for the show notes and totally epic and delicious recipes.